Thank you, Kyle. Well, we have, and if you're looking here, the scripture is wrong there. We're actually in John chapter 14, 27. Are you all doing okay? Well, good. I've been talking to you about things to be afraid of, and maybe I like to kind of just start out with a little bit of fun. Are you okay to have a little bit of fun? Okay. So if you're a teacher or a parent or a grandparent, I found something out this week that I've decided to warn you about. Are you ready for a warning? I'm good at warnings, okay? Don't ask them to draw a picture of you. Now, mind you, I never ask my children to draw a picture of me, but you know, my favorite child, Hazel, who kisses me all the time, she's not my favorite, but I love them all equally. I don't love her anymore, but anyway, she came into the living room this week before she went to bed, and she said, now, I didn't put this on here because I really don't want you to see it. She said, I drew a picture of you, Daddy. I said, oh my word, that's so sweet of you. And I said, did you draw one of Mommy? And she said, well, no. And I said, and I looked over at Honey. I said, see how it's going right here. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that so soon. So this is what she brought to me. And I don't really want you to see it. I just want you to kind of get a glimpse of it so you kind of know what's going on here. Do you see a big colored round surface? Okay, so she says to me, she gives it to me, and she said, that's you. And I said, well, honey, that's beautiful. And she said, let me tell you. I said, okay. She said, this is your tummy. She said, that is your belly button. There's your head. You see that little speck? And there are your legs. And I told my wife, I won't be eating dinner tonight. So don't ask your children to draw pictures of you. Because now I don't want her to draw me pictures because I'm scared to death of how she views me. And so then I start thinking, I'm like, well, honey, does that help everybody? And she said, honey. I said, well, now I'm afraid of what everybody thinks. So anyway, don't look to your children for self-esteem. So that's the model today. But and please, in the children's department, don't have them draw pictures of their parents. Well, we're going to be in John chapter 14, verse 27, and it's a significant passage for us today. And this is kind of what we're going to close out, because next week we're going to start a new series. But I want you to get a hold of today's scripture. So let's turn there right now and go to that. If you would, once you have that, if you would please stand. Most of you are going to say, well, I'm extremely familiar with this passage of scripture. And we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to roll all the way down. I'm sorry, not verse 1, chapter 14, 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Think about this. This is tremendous. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Now I want you to remember, when he says these words, these are not always favorably received by the people of that day. Because see, when you're not in charge of yourself, right, think about it, when you're not in charge and you stand with a faith, okay, that was not always favorably seen by governments, okay, and someone comes to you and says, hey, I'm going to give you peace, most often, you're the product of what they move out of the way so they can have peace. So this is not a really, really assuring passage. But he says it anyway, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. God, today, help us to take these words and understand them. Help us to understand how it speaks into the things that we fear the most. And God, even in the midst of those things, you are still, through your Spirit, saying to us, peace be with you. You left us peace because you left us the Holy Spirit. And so today, allow the Holy Spirit to come. Allow the Holy Spirit to move. Bind the hands of the enemy in the name of Jesus and allow this time to be a time where we are freed, where we are set free, where the things that bound us, the things that we're afraid of, are let go. And God, let us go into your peace and your way as we leave this place. And so bind the hands of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, so let's talk about, and we kind of review this every week, but we change the definition a little bit. Is that okay? We kind of add to the definition every week. We know that fear is not a spirit from God. Fear is opposite of God. It is not who he is. Let's talk about, okay, the root of fear here in being afraid, what Jesus was talking about. It is the opposite of peace. So if you are bound in fear right now, whatever it may be, it may be a work situation, a family, a loss, whatever it is that has you afraid, it is the opposite of peace. It is the opposite of what Jesus said, I leave to you peace. We also know that here, the way Jesus spoke it, it kind of has a negative connotation. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? See, oftentimes we want Jesus to come in and just remove everything out of the way and make things peaceful. So whatever it is that's in my way that's causing me fear, God, come in and what? I mean, come on now, church, don't you pray a lot? Would you just come in, Lord, and just remove? You know what? Some of you shouldn't say right because the person next to you, you know what I'm saying? And so you're like, if you'll just remove, I'm just kidding. Are you all awake with me? Sometimes my wife prays that prayer. If he would just go back to work. Anyway, see, what happens here is that oftentimes the Jewish people were what? They were a product, okay, of being cast out or being oppressed because you know what? A lot of governments got tired of hearing about the one true God. And so the Jewish people at time were frustrating people because they wouldn't let go of their one true God. And we know they have their problems. We know they have their issues. But if you were a government over them, you would see them at times as frustrating because they would interject and not allow peace to come until they were able to freely worship their God. And so here when Jesus says this, and he says it in a way that doesn't remove everything from the situation, it's why Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. He didn't go on to say, because I'm going to remove everything you're afraid of. He didn't say that. It's why it would be a little troubling for the people. See, I'd love to be able to say to you today, that what you're afraid of or what you fear, I mean, I don't know about you, but my mind goes all the time. I'm already afraid of what my kids are going to face when they grow up. And I shouldn't be thinking about it. The other night, my wife said, why are you like planning a scenario that hasn't even happened yet? I said, oh, it's going to happen. And she said, you of little faith. But see, that's what we do. We want God to just remove it, take it away. He didn't say that to the people. He said, I give you peace and I leave you with the Holy Spirit. And so here we see that this is a good thing. And yet at the same time, I think the people hearing it were like, why doesn't he just come down and like zap everybody and make it just easy? You ever prayed for that? If you could just, here's the thing. Jesus interjected the Holy Spirit. Jesus interjected the Holy Spirit. And he said, with the Holy Spirit, you will be able to live at peace. See, here's what happens. If we would just be real with ourselves today, when peace is not present from Jesus, it is a great indicator that the Spirit is not present in us. And maybe not completely. Maybe it's just a specific area. Maybe it's a part of who we are. But what's great here is that the peace that he's speaking about, think about this statement, is intimately associated with the gift of the Spirit, the ongoing presence of Jesus, even in his absence. I don't know that we think about it this way, but like it's the Spirit of God that created everything that we stand on. And Jesus said, I can give you peace because the Spirit of God is coming to be with you. I'm making a way so that it's possible. So you don't have to live in fear even when you're being oppressed. So you don't have to live in fear even when you're facing death. So you don't have to. And so here, let's talk about the kind of fear here and what the purpose of it is. You need to know that these people were getting close to Jesus. You ever like spend a lot of time with someone, and then the idea of them going away starts to break your heart? I mean, even if I look around the room today, the last 3 months, look at how many people have passed away, even in our midst, even in the last week and a half. And Jesus was already preparing them and saying, hey, I'm going to have to go be back with my Father. He was always preparing them for that. He didn't want to just throw it on them. He was always preparing them and saying, hey, I know this is going to come, but I want you to know that just because my physical presence isn't here doesn't mean that I'm not here. Because you have to remember, they were giving him strength. He was leading the way. He was giving the instructions. He was doing the healings. When people came and did controversy, what did Jesus do? He dealt with it. Think about it. When Jesus' physical presence wasn't able to do that, what were the first reactions of the disciples? They were cowardly. They were afraid. See, what I think Jesus was trying to remind them was that, you know what, just because I am not going to be present in person does not mean that you have to reinstate the fear that you once held previous to me. Jesus' departure, or at least what he was saying here, would usher in the next season of his realm. Meaning the Spirit would usher in the next season of opportunity. It would usher in the season here. I think it's also pretty brave of Jesus as he looked to the people, because these are words he spoke, and he looked to the people, and when you translate it here, he was actually saying, don't be a coward. You ever have somebody say to you, don't be a coward, just do it, just go for it? Maybe in an encouraging way, sometimes it's not in an encouraging way. Sometimes they do it and they shouldn't say it. But Jesus here was saying, if you're going to hold on to fear in my absence, then you are going to be living as a coward. Y'all know Kenny Rogers? Yes. Okay, I love Kenny and Dolly. I mean, I try not to say that too much, but my father-in-law also really loves Kenny Rogers, and now he's like really obsessed with him. I don't know if you knew it, but this week there was a documentary on him. Did y'all watch it? And people sang, and anyway, if you like him, sing it. But you remember Coward of the County? I could sing it for you. Want me to sing it for you? I'm just kidding. I shouldn't know that by heart. I hope there's not a lot of youth here. But anyway, I do know that by heart. But what's funny is, I don't know if you watched the video that went with it, the Coward of the County, and there came a point where that something had happened to the person that he loved, and he went to face the people. Y'all remember this? I was up on standing up screaming, like, go for it. You shouldn't say that about fighting. But anyway, they thought he was going to exit the room, and you know what he did? He went and locked the doors. You know what I'm saying? I say, go ahead, because if somebody did something to my wife, I'm going to go there, lock the doors, and say, it's time. You know what I'm saying? Do that to my kids. It's time. Now, that's not the very Christ-like response. But let me tell you what Jesus is saying here. Don't be a coward. I didn't come so that when I leave, you can live like that. Lock the door and stand firm. Lock the door and face what it is that you need to face. Lock the door and don't run from, because it's coming, but so is the Spirit. So the purpose of Jesus' words here were to say to the people, it's going to be greater. It's going to be better. I won't have to like walk over there and talk for you, because I'm just going to speak in you and talk with you. I'm not going to have to go over and defend you, because I'm just going to use my Spirit to speak in you. And so what I was going to say, if you'll listen to me, we can both say together. I mean, he was just changing everything. And at the same time, telling fear, this ain't your day. So two things we're going to go over that I'm going to read you some statements like I did last week. And people, I want you to be real, because, I mean, I know, as long as you've been in the faith, it doesn't matter. The enemy uses fear. Come on now, many of you tell me about the world right now and you're afraid of, and I can't say that I'm not. But I'm not going to live in fear of that, so I just turn the news off. It's not that it still ain't happening, but guess what? I don't need to live in that. I need to continue to be the beacon of hope that God has called me to be, continue to speak, continue to walk the streets, continue to, that's going to bring about change. So let's think about this for a second. Jesus said, do not be afraid. Jesus was not saying there will be a lack of conflict. See, we want to add to the scriptures and say, hey, the conflict's going to go away when you stand with Jesus. I don't know. I think the conflict might actually increase. Now, we don't like to preach that, but I feel like the stronger Jesus' ministry got, the stronger the opposition got. So the more you live in your faith, the more you're a mouthpiece, the more you're a beacon, the more you're hope, I'm pretty sure the more times you're going to have to go lock the back door and say, no, I'm going to stand here and be. Think about some things. See, the world wants to tell us, think about it. The enemy wants to tell us that not living in fear is directly related to absence of conflict. Now, let's take it a little further. See, many of you are actually in conflict with yourselves. That's before you can get to any other conflict. The conflict of God's calling me here, but I'm not good enough. God's calling me to speak, but I'm not. God's calling me to sing, but I'm not. God's calling me to go out, but I'm not. And I can't. And I'm afraid. You wouldn't believe this, but I'm actually very shy. You can ask my wife. I mean, it takes a lot for me to, like, go out. Like, I feel okay here. You know why? Because the Spirit's here. And the Spirit fills me and gives me the opportunity. But in my humanness, it's just not how I'm made up. Wouldn't I just rather stay in the back? But God has called me to be a mouthpiece, so I have to be one. And then when I get to go home and rest with my family, I can just breathe a little. And God gives us those times of respite. But no, I'm not all excited about social gatherings. I call my wife before every one of them. All right, I'm going in. And she's like, you're going to be fine. I'm like, no, I'm not. This is awful. I can't believe it. Here I am. And I make it all about who? Me. And it shouldn't be that. But see, that's what we do. We have fears that we fight within ourselves before we can ever get to. And the Lord is saying, don't live in that. I gave you peace. But see, the enemy is constantly, from the beginning, lying, rewording, reinstating, making it sound the same, but it's not. I mean, he's so crafty. He's so good. I mean, let's just give him some credit. He's good at what he does. He's perfected his craft in taking what God's spoken and just make it a little bit different so that we like, really? See, we too often look for fear to be removed, never presented, and kept even from the possibility of it coming. And then when it comes, we say, well, God, where were you in? And you know what happens then? We stay there. We're going to talk about babies in a little bit. Think about this second thing. Now, here's the deal. See, many of us have been Christians for a long time, but we have not been spirit Christians for very long, if ever. We know the Word. We hold on to the Word. We know religion probably better than we know the Word, because if we know the Word, we need to know the Spirit. And if the Spirit knows us and we know the Spirit, then it's a little bit different. Then we've got the Word, the Spirit, and we have a better complete picture, and so we can face fear better. Think about it. Peace or lack of fear cannot happen outside the Holy Spirit. It just can't. I feel like, and this is a statement that I'm going to step out and say, but I feel like the world right now, they are trying to redefine themselves, trying to discover themselves, because they're afraid of themselves, because they're afraid of facing a past. They're afraid of facing fear. And so why not just reinvent? Why not just completely, but you know what? Whatever you're trying to reinvent yourself from is still going to haunt you. It's still going to cause you to run. You will never stop running until you lock the door and say, okay, God, let's face this. And it may be a battle you face every day. The great thing is the Spirit's with us every day. But without the Spirit, we're not complete. The gift of the Spirit of God is intimately associated with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about this for a second. The Spirit brings about the ongoing presence of Jesus and the Father in their absence. I thought this was interesting, and I don't know if you really read this scripture. Jesus is kind of disappointed in the people. He actually is, this is a disappointing passage. He's not very happy. He's saying, why are you worried about me going? Because if I go and I fulfill all that you've been taught your whole lives for generations after generations, if you ever really listen to it, instead of just practicing the practices and doing the sacrifices and really got what it was all about, you would know that if I go back to the Father and I rise again from the dead, then the Spirit's going to come and I'm going to be where I should be and you're going to be where you should be and the Spirit's going to be in you. He was actually disappointed in the people. You say, well, Pastor, where did you get that? Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father. I'm fulfilling all that you've studied. I'm fulfilling all that you memorize. I'm fulfilling all that you recite your whole life. He's speaking to people that would have had the Torah memorized by 12. Y'all got your Bibles memorized? And he's saying, if you loved me, you would get that this is better. You ever have somebody say, you know, if you just loved me, you would let a boy say that to my girl, and I overhear that. It won't take but 2 seconds to get wherever they are. Do you know what I'm saying? There should be moments in our life, right, where we even as people on looking should stand up and say, what? I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Don't come into me. Don't come into my friend, my kid, my... Church, with the Spirit, we are not absent from Jesus. With the Spirit, we are not absent from God. He was actually saying it's going to be better, and if you really got all of my teachings, you would get that this is really exciting, and you'd actually be happy for me. You know, it's one of the only times that Jesus is saying to people, would you just be happy for me to go back to? It's an odd statement. Are you all with me here? We recite it at funerals, we speak it, but we never really look at it that actually Jesus is disappointed in them. And I think sometimes as we live in fear, he's disappointed in us. Because he's saying to us today, if you really love me, you'd be happy that I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father, taking your prayers, speaking them to God, turning back around, and then speaking life into your heart through the Spirit that resides in me. They were more concerned about the absence of a being. How often are we more concerned about something rather than all that the Spirit has to give us? All right. A couple of thoughts here at the end. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's speaking to their fears. And he's saying, I don't want to have to, in a sense, worry about you, that in my absence, you're going to start making ungodly decisions. This has to do with the prayers that his parents, his grandparents, as people that are watching children and youth and young adults go through transition, we should be praying specifically that people would have encounters where it goes from a parent's or grandparent's or friend's faith to their faith. It's, I believe, one of the greatest battles when a person goes from like that childlike faith to saying, okay, do I really believe this or not? And then what happens is that we begin to think about other people and other influences. We hear other faiths, other religions, and we start putting them in the place that, and then it leads us to decisions that are ungodly. And so when we operate out of fear, we will miss God's best. Well, I might offend so-and-so. Well, they might not see this as the, well, I really don't think I should. Well, I mean, I'd rather do it myself so that. Church, when you make a decision out of fear and not out of the Spirit, you're making an ungodly decision. It doesn't mean that it's a sin. Sometimes it does. So I guess the question today is, are your decisions and your decision-making process birthed out of your relationship with the Spirit, or is it birthed out of fear? You know, a lot of pastors over the years have made decisions birthed out of fear of congregation members. Wait until those congregation members meet Jesus. And Jesus says, I spoke to the pastor and said, and then you said, and he lived in fear, and I'll deal with him when he gets here. But since you're here first, I'm going to deal with you. How many times the kids? I mean, I could just. Think about this. Did you know fear has babies? You know, we love when people have babies, don't we? We don't like when fear has babies. Because you know what fear does? So we make a decision out of fear. And I was listening to a message by Tony Evans on this, and he said, you know, we listen to fear, but then all of a sudden we get bold enough, right? And we say, no longer am I going to live in that fear. And then 6 years later, something comes along the way, and a fear creeps back up, and we realize that because we moved in that fear for 6 years, a baby came out of it, and then the baby got big, and all of a sudden when that baby presented itself, I didn't know what to do with it. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, you speak something to your kids to scare them to death that ain't of God. And they hold on to that even though you've let go of it and said, you know what, that wasn't the right, that was a misstep, I shouldn't have done that. You never went back and corrected it. You did it out of fear because you were afraid of, and then all of a sudden 6 years later, that baby fear is big, and it's bigger than you. Because we forget about the decisions we make while we're living in fear. But they don't forget about us. The enemy never forgets about our victory. So he goes back pre-victory to bring that back to us. And then we say, well, God, I thought I let go of that fear. But it didn't let go of. It was still waiting for. It was growing so that. You know the greatest one? Now, I don't have a teen yet, and I'm not afraid of my kids yet, but the greatest one is, and I'll just be honest, my sister-in-law spoke it to us a couple years ago. We had a big old conflict, and I said, I promise you this child is going to end up in a situation that you don't want it in. And you know what she said? I'm afraid of losing my relationship with. Guess what she's lost right now? Come on now. Guess who he's living with? Guess what he left? And sorry, I'm just being real. That's where we're all at right now. Guess what she called and said? Remember 4 years ago? I said, yeah, when you wanted to be their friend? She said, yep. And I just said, how's that working out for you? And she began to weep. See, that fear that wasn't godly led into, and let's just be real, some of you parents, she'd been in the church for years. Her parent, Dr. or Reverend Don Bosell, he's my doctor, but anyway, Reverend Don Bosell brought them up in the church, in the first church. Fear produces babies, and babies come back later to bite you. So why not deal with them now? Because they're a lot less scary now than when their product gets back to you. When you live long enough and realize there is no power in what fear has to say, the problem is then the baby fears that you did not rebuke are grown. And unfortunately, and Tony Evans said this, and I thought it was beautiful, he said a good portion of those fears come in somebody you really love, not in you. And that breaks your heart even more. And he got a lot of amens for that, but I didn't. So anyway, it's a different kind of church. If we are a child of God, then we need to know that we are free from fear. So if you go out today saying, I really am a child of God, and Abby, you can come forward, then I should know that I am free from fear. Then we have to change our thinking. See, we don't like to think this way. We want to be downtrodden. But if we're really a child of God, it is favor over fear. Do you get that? See, the enemy wants us to think that because of God, we live in fear of what he's going to do to us if we don't. That's the way the enemy manipulates it. But God is actually saying, because you're my child, you get to live in favor over fear. Y'all, we don't live like we're supposed to. He's saying to you right now, whatever it is that you're afraid of, stand with me. Don't run from it. Don't try to get away from it. Don't coddle it. Don't love on it. Don't give it space. Be brave. Stand up. Rebuke it. Because you know what? I love you. Now, are you seeing the progression of these weeks? We already know that if we have a God that loves us, then we don't have a reason to live in fear. And now he's saying to us, not only do you not have to live in fear, but if I love you, then you can have favor in me over fear from me or from something else. And so are you willing to receive from God that, hey, if you're living in obedience, if you're living in love, if you're living daily seeking after him, you don't have to live in fear. Because I believe, and I don't know if you read the word, but I believe God wants to pour out his favor on those that love him. Now, I'm not speaking prosperity gospel. I'm just saying, look, live in the fullness of God. Be complete. Be able to stand up in the moment and have somebody a little mad at you, so in the long run, the right thing's done. And there's no baby in the... So Micah 5:1-9, you all know what that is. You know, because of Jesus coming, he makes it so that we can have victory over fear. See, when we receive him into our heart and accept him as our Lord and Savior, he comes in and does something great. He sends his spirit. In fact, tonight, if you're in small group, and if you're not, let us know. We can get you connected to one. You're going to learn more about the power that comes in baptism. You're going to learn and understand that Jesus sends his spirit so that we don't have to live in fear. And so I guess the question today, as we just go to this ending, and maybe, Jeff, do you want to just dim the lights? I know it's hard for us to respond. We get nervous about what people think about us. Let it go. Y'all, let's be real. Some of you have some fears. I don't care how old you are. Some of you are afraid of decisions that you made in the past and how they've affected. And some of you are afraid of where the government is. Some of you are afraid about your kids, about your... Why not just come this morning and say, okay, God, I'm going to live in favor over fear. And when the situation comes, I'm going to lock the back door and say, okay, God, I'm here with you. Let's take on this fear. Let's take it head on. Because the hardest thing is a baby that grows up, that looks you in the face and says, eh, I'm going to do what I want now. Whew. So let's get a hold of the babies now so they don't have an opportunity to grow up. God, we thank you today that you've given us your Spirit. A Spirit that comes in and just takes those places of fear, of concern, of worry, however, and you give us strength to stand in courage, to stand in might. And so, God, we would ask that you would just send your Spirit down on this place, that you would rest in each person here. And then as we walk out, God, give us courage. Give us courage to face these things. We love you. We praise you. We pray, God, that you would just use your word to continue to purify our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being a part. I hope you'll join us for Sunday school. Looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over. My story's just begun. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Yeah, failure won't define me.